Hey, everybody. Welcome back to DIY Money. Interesting and fascinating interview today with entrepreneur Drew Sutton. You know how passionate I am about teaching young people about money and investing. Drew has created a system to truly engage young people, and you are definitely going to want to hear it. Stay tuned. Welcome, everybody. We have a very special DIY Money video for Jewel. I mean, we're wrapping everything into one. So if you're listening to the audio of this, know that we do have a YouTube video that'll be on our Jewel Financial website, so you could see the creator of this amazing, I don't know, I don't want to call it a product because I feel like that almost...
It's a tool, yeah.
But we're not like hammer and nails yet, right?
No, it replaces the piggy bank. Right?
All right, so we're gonna get there. All right. So, anyways, thanks for tuning in. I have a good friend here today, Drew Sutton. Welcome, Drew. And Drew and I go way back. Full disclosure, you've been a client of ours for a very long time, right?
Easily over 8 years. Yeah, forever.
Easily.
Yeah.
So. Longtime client, friend, and I'll tell you how this happened was, I don't know, a few weeks ago, maybe it was a couple months ago now, and first of all, I'll ask everybody at home to share with them a little bit about yourself here.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They'll give, and I think if you wave one more time, that'll be a record. We've never had a guest wave. I'm just joking. I'll bust your chops a few times
Sounds good.
Anyways, so I saw Drew post something on social media, and as much as I hate social media, this is the one time I was like, this is brilliant. I think everybody at home, whether you're tuning in on DIY Money or Jewel Financial, you know my passion for teaching young people about money, specifically about investing. You all know my story, 12 years old, McDonald's stock. I really embraced the idea that I had ownership in something. I'd be at school, they're making money at McDonald's. I'd go in with my, did you know at the time they gave little coupons for a cheeseburger? Or it was a hamburger. I was really disappointed because it was only a hamburger if you were a shareholder.
Oh, really?
In their annual report, they'd send you a coupon, a free hamburger. I would take it to our McDonald's. I'd turn it in.
Yeah.
And then I'd ask to speak with management, tell them I'm an owner. You know, with my 10 shares or whatever I had at the time, ask how business was doing.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love teaching young people about money. So a month or so ago, what we're here to talk about today, Drew was on social media sharing a new tool, a new product, a new system, whatever it is, a game for that matter. And I was like, this is genius. You got to come on the podcast. You got to come on the video. I want to share this with the world. So we're going to dive deep into that. And I'll tell you right now, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you're an aunt and uncle, you're looking for a gift. How do I teach my kids about money? How do I teach my grandkids about money? How do I teach the kid next door about money so he stops offering to shovel my driveway, mow my lawn, wash my car, all the rest of that stuff? This is something that you can get for them. It's fantastic. Again, we'll talk more about that. But Drew, you're not just some schmuck off the sidewalk. Like, you have a history of creating things. And give us a little bit about who you are, your history, what you've done, and how this thing came to light.
Yeah. So a little bit about me. I'm a mechanical engineer. That's my training. All my life, I wanted to be Q from James Bond. Like, I wanted to invent something. Like, this is before Shark Tank. This is before the little invent got caveman advertising.
Fun fact, we work with a Q.
Oh,
legitimately. Like, he had to go, like, off the radar for 20 years while he created products for the guys in the field.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's awesome.
I may have to pull that string.
Can't tell you his name, right? I'd be kidding.
No, copy.
But he's out of it. He's retired now. He's probably watching this. But anyways,
Yeah, no, that's cool.
You wanted to be Q.
So I wanted to be Q. Yeah. And I, you know, I always tell people that I've been a success despite my best efforts. And,
that's great.
And so I got an opportunity to work for Bell Helicopter, and I ran the research department, and I got 30 patents in helicopter design. And then I was chief engineer for Lockheed. So doing difficult, challenging things is like, it's like my candy.
So let me just stress this a little bit. This is not like I just graduated my mechanical engineering degree. The first time I met you, you go, I design and make helicopters. Yep. And I was like, in your backyard? Like, what are you talking? And he's like, no, I work for Bell Helicopter. And then you went to Lockheed Martin,
mm-hmm.
the defense contractor.
Yep.
And at one time you said to me something like, I'm working on a drone project. And I was like, well, drones are everywhere. You go, no, a drone that could lift a car or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so eVTOLs are like the fancy thing that everybody's talking about today. So literally a decade ago, I was pitching those projects at Bell. And it breaks a piece of my heart that we haven't done it yet. But yeah, putting together the relationships, because it's not just the technical side, right? You have to have the relationships to make that and the funding to make that project
so
work.
It's safe to say you're a pretty sharp dude. You're a smart guy.
I have had the privilege of working with some really, really smart guys.
He's a smart guy. Yeah. He's one of the smartest guys I've met over the years, for sure. So you also have a family. You're a family man.
Yep.
Again, I'm going to bridge the gap here.
Yep.
But you have a family man. Tell us about your family.
So I have four kids. I have two and two. So I have a 16-year-old daughter and two 14-year-old boys. And then Livy is nine. So.
And your upbringing, if I'm correct about your money blueprint, because I remember mm-hmm. us sharing some stories, your father was successful
mm-hmm.
and sold a business at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
you noticed that, and you noticed what a wise steward of money could mm-hmm. do and would do. You've been a wise investor your whole life. And so you've been sort of in and around the investing and prudent saving and investing game for a long time. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So you've wanted to impart that knowledge onto your children.
Yes, that's correct.
So prior to this, what are some things that you've done to educate your children about investing and saving, et cetera?
This is actually one of the major tools that we use. It kind of stuns people. I started my kids on this at 5 years old.
Mm.
Two of them were 3 years old at the time. But
they're now analysts at Juul. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, one of them probably would love to be, actually. Actually, if I can steal the mic for just a second. Andrew, one of my boys, because of this, when he was nine, he said to me, he goes, I want to buy stock for my birthday. And I was like, I can't buy you stock because I'm going to get your brother a Nerf gun and you're going to hate me when you're 30, right? Like, I can't buy you stock. But he wouldn't let it go. So for like 3 months, he said, that's what I want for my birthday, is I want $300 of Lockheed stock. I worked at Lockheed at the time. And so I took him to Quint and I said, hey, Quint, just treat him like he's a client. Like, I'm not in the room. You know, I'm just here for security reasons, blah, blah, blah. And Quint had the best conversation. And so actually the second box, which is, this is the first box. The second box is kind of based on that conversation of pick some companies that you love and then just watch them. And like, so if it's McDonald's, how many people are at McDonald's and what do they sell? And why do you think that they're doing well?
Mm.
And Andrew kept, he called it his stock portfolio. He kept a blue portfolio or a black like a folder. And every day he would take my iPhone for 6 months and he tracked, because I wouldn't let him buy stock until he had done that for 6 months. And he did. And he wants to be a pilot in the Air Force, and then he wants to be a money manager.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to jump right into this, and I'm going to give you everybody some background. So, again, you're talking about somebody who is incredibly wise and a designer at heart. So designer at heart, passion for investing, passion for finance, and has wanted to invest and teach his children about money. So you didn't just say, like I would say, well, let's buy some stock, let's have conversation around the table, let's talk about, you know, allowance and so forth. You took it to the next level. And again, I want to get, because we'll lose some people as the video and the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
The black investing box is what the tool is called, the system, the product, whatever you want to call it. You can get it. You can go to theblackinvestingbox.com and you can order a box. You can order multiple boxes and you will be able to gift this. You'll be able to work on this with your kids, whatever it is, which I saw this. They should give these out in high school. Actually, they should buy them from you and then give them out in high schools. Every kid should be mandated to have one of these, Because what he's been able to do, if I'm putting words in your mouth, you have been able to take the concept of investing, saving, and most importantly, compounding interest.
Oh, the most important, yes.
The most important, getting your money to work for you, which is very difficult for a kid to understand. And what do I mean by this? I try to encourage my kids to invest. When they invest, I say, listen, your money will compound. And they're like, okay, what does that mean? Well, that means that over time, as your money grows, you will make more money on that money right over their head.
Because candy's sweet.
Because candy's sweet. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's
you
right
want
here.
It now. Like, oh, you want it now. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. But this system brings the reward to them up front, which is what I really like. Okay. So I've teased it enough.
Yeah.
I want you to share with the folks at home what this is, how it works, why you create, you know, all the things. Just go.
Yeah. So if I was going to teach you how to play basketball, right, what would I do? Would I talk to you about basketball or would I give you a basketball?
We'd go play.
We'd go play some ball, right? And I would cheat the rules so that, you know, I would lower the goal. I'd make it a bigger goal. You'd have a smaller ball. I'd pick you up when you're three, right? So that is what, if you're looking at your kids and you're saying, I really want you to love this, not to like it. I want you to love it. Well, you're going to have to put them in a jersey, take them to a UK ball game, buy them a $14 hot dog, right? You're going to have to, that's what it takes. The beautiful part is then once they catch the fever for it, you stop having to finance it, right? You start to draw back. So that's
a great analogy, by the way. That is really good because I have failed miserably on the other side of that and been like, you're going to like this. That doesn't work so well.
No.
As a parent. But the other way, what'd you say? Cheat the rules a little bit, ease back in, lower, take them to a game. Now we're talking about, you know, all of a sudden they love it, right?
Right.
That's great. That's a great analogy.
Right. So you're spending time with them, right?
And we don't have that in finance.
No.
We don't have that. Yes, things like Robinhood, custodial accounts, no minimums, no transaction fees. The barriers have diminished, but when you're not getting that reward, when you're buying a stock for $100 and the kid goes, oh, I bought a stock for $100. I remember my kid coming to me, he goes, Quint, he goes, Dad, if I give you $100 by the end of school, what would that be? And I was like, well, if I did my job really well, like $120. And he was like, what? Like, I want to use that $100 to buy an Xbox. It needs to be $300. I'm like, I'm not your guy. So this allows them to shorten the what's it called? The satisfaction curve, so that they can really taste the sugar and say, hey, or candy, to say, this is what can come of this. All right. So we have a box. This is, if you were to order this, I get this in the mail.
Yeah.
And I open the box.
Yeah.
And inside the box, I'm pulling out all sorts of things, much like a game.
Right. So the box has the rules in the front and the box has some financial limericks on the back, right?
Which you designed.
Which I designed.
You did all this. Manufactured everything. Chief bottle washer.
I did.
I love
the whole bit. Yeah. And what's really interesting about this is I put a lot of energy into making it look nice. And so like one of the questions if you don't want to buy the box, that's totally fine. You can go to Hobby Lobby. My kids bought a little wooden box.
No, that's nonsense. Buy the box. No.
The reason you buy the box.
Don't poo-poo yourself and the work you did.
Well.
People need it. What is it? Well, how much does it cost?
It's $100.
It's $100. They need to buy the box.
It's super cheap when
by
you consider about
yeah. Okay,
but so kids, and when you have young kids and you're learning about childhood education, you discover that kids need heavy things, they need physical things, and they need pretty things.
How did you learn all this stuff, like the psychology of things like that?
So we homeschooled our kids, and we have a saying in the homeschool community that the homeschooling is actually your second education. Mm. You learn because you have to relearn everything that you didn't pay attention to in school.
So this is interesting. That makes a lot of sense. I think I knew that you homeschooled your kids. Maybe I didn't. But you're always having to create learning tools and learning exercises. So your mind is – I'm trying to get to the root. I didn't think of a box. You thought of a box. I'm kind of jealous you thought of the box. But your mind has been working in that I build helicopters, I build, you know, stuff, and I have to teach my kids these practical things.
Right. And then I was a chief engineer, and so my job was no longer to do technical things. It was to get other people to do very smart technical things very well
Yeah.
every time, right?
Okay.
So
So I'm going to keep interrupting, going back and forth, but you have to stay on task. So,
okay, staying on task.
But the box opens, and it's you mentioned something about when you showed me first the pillow. Because you brushed over that. There's a little pillow in there, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, because money is elegant, right?
Yes.
And elegance is less about money. It's more about a prestige, a status. Who are you? So, and I encourage you that when you buy the box and you do it with your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and nephews, always call them an investor, because whatever an adult says is true.
Yes.
Until about 14, and then it's still true. They just try to fight it.
Yes.
Right. And I think that we don't understand that power as bosses, as parents, especially parents of younger children, is they are what we tell them they are. Mm. And so that's the reason we made the box like this, and it has the gold trim, and it has, because I want the kid. A 5-year-old gets this box and it's fancy.
Yeah.
Just like
sharp.
Grandma's stuff is, mm. Right? And so you open it up and even in the bottom, oh, it's even got a fancy pillow in the bottom. Mm. So it sounds silly maybe, but the truth is we're in this game for the long haul, right? And that is to get the kid to believe I'm an investor and investors think like investors.
Now it's not just a box. So it's not a $100 box. You have a bunch of contents in here that ultimately become the investing game per se.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah. So there's we'll get all to the different panels here.
Give us the premise. Give us the gist of it.
So this is the premise. This is called the quarterly report.
So, I love it.
So the quarterly report is you as the angel investor. You're the angel investor, and then they're the investor. Mm. You're going to seed them with an initial $4, right?
Okay.
And if they keep the
So now I'm 104 in. This is getting expensive. No, I'm joking. Okay.
At inflation.
If I can teach my kids to be a wise investor, this saves me a ton of money in the future.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
So you seed them.
So you seed them $4. And actually, my daughter, for instance, she got Christmas money. And I told her, you have to start with $4. Because starting with $4 is important. And the reason is, if you keep it in the box all week and you don't touch it, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're doing delayed gratification. It's not savings, because that's a little bit different. This is delayed gratification. Then they get to have a quarter on each dollar.
Okay, so just break this down. And I don't want to get away from what's at the top of that.
Yeah.
So what you're holding up, and I don't know if you can see this on the screen, but the quarterly report not only has pictures of a bunch of dollars on there, which I presume is what's going to be compounding and adding up and so forth, but there's a goal sheet or something to articulate what someone is going for. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I was probably 28 and a mentor of mine said, it's June. You're halfway through the year. Are you halfway through with this year's goals? Mm. And I was like, I was cut to the quick, because we all make New Year's resolutions, but that's not a goal. That's like a statement that we make.
Yep.
No. Did you make a plan this year?
Mm.
And every investor has to have a goal. And
yes.
It's not just to get bigger. It's like, I want to hit this number by this date, or I want to do this class by this time period. What if there's time and then there's value, right?
Selfish plug. So this element is what we try to do with all of our clients, right? Is, okay, our retirement date is here. This is where we are. This is where we want to get to. Many of those folks that we work with instinctively understand that, right? I'm setting
right.
a goal. But now I'm doing this at home, and I have not been doing it with money, but I've been doing it with life and
right.
other goals, whether it's in our house, a lot of swim goals, right? So
right.
swim goals or grades. We tend to incentivize financially with grades. People think that's not good. I think that's perfectly fine.
Oh,
the kids have straight A's.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but they identify a goal, they write it down, they look at it and see it, and that's part of what you have in there well.
And you have to look at it. So like for the first 4 weeks, this is their document, right? Mm. This is their life, financial life, so to speak. And right, the goal takes up a huge part of that.
Yes.
So one of my sons is in Civil Air Patrol, and his goal is to be a colonel in the Civil Air. It's like being an Eagle Scout. And so above his bed, we bought the chart, and it is above his bed. That's the only, like, he doesn't have soccer people. He doesn't have baseball. He has Civil Air Patrol every station along the way.
To see it.
Right. Cause
absolutely.
You got to, like, when I, we were doing a really large project at Lockheed, it's about a 4-year project, and we literally got butcher paper. We ran it around the top of the room, and it was every major deliverable for the next 3 years.
I love it. Okay. So they establish a goal.
Establish a goal.
And it's something to buy.
It's literally something
it's,
to buy.
It's again, we can't get away. I love when clients come, and I'm at the, I'll never forget a client said, I'm at the dealership, you know, I need to buy this car, you know, should I finance it? I go, how about we send you the money? Really? I go, yeah, the market bought you the car last year. What?
Go.
I go, yeah.
Yeah.
You had a great return. This, the market, I'm going to send you this money. The market bought you the car.
Right.
Wow. Okay. We're investing. We are compounding so that we can reach a goal. Whether that's to give, whether that's to retire, whether that's to buy something, whatever it might be. So this is instilling this at a young age. I love that.
Yeah. And have you, I'm assuming that you're familiar with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
I am.
He has a great game called Cashflow 101. Mm-hmm. And the first step is you have to put your cheese on the board. And I think that we gloss over that because we're like, oh, I'm just supposed to invest. No, you got a goal.
Yep.
And then you got to make decisions and trade-offs.
He's gotten a little crazy right now.
Oh, I haven't tracked him recently.
Oh, yeah. Basically, he thinks the world's ending for the last 5 years.
I got it.
Anyway.
So one of the things I did.
Great game, though. And great book.
Yes. So one of the things I did personally, I think 8 or 9 years ago, is I got tired of people saying the, well, how much is enough thing? Mm-hmm. So I actually calculated it. Yeah. I said, this is where I want to be when I retire at this age. And in order to invest this, you know, I worked the math backwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd tell people it's $175,000 at 2017 dollars. And they were like, huh? So this is the beginning of that, yeah. Right? You're having a five-year-old or a three-year-old saying, I want a teddy bear or I want a Lego. We always did Lego sets. And there's a reason for the Lego sets in a second.
Well, because you're a mechanical engineer.
Well, there's that. But also Lego sets, especially larger Lego sets, have different bags. Mm. Actually, I'll just jump in here and explain this one. So
Wait. No, don't jump. Don't jump. Lego sets. Okay, wait. I'm gonna keep asking questions because I want folks to understand. So they open the box. And you're seeding them with four $1 bills.
Right.
So there's a four $1 bills that go in the box. They've and then, written their goal.
And then they have to put their goal in this line right here. So Okay. Let's say it's about $12. That's four.
They identify how much it is. And then they say, I've got to have this over here.
And then they see how much they have.
Now, at the end of 4 weeks, they have not touched the money, which they could do.
Which they totally could
They're
do.
They're free to do. By the way, this money is yours. You can take it out at any time. But if you leave the $4 in here for the week, what happens then?
So then you lay it out and you have them lay it out. Because again, physical touch is a big thing, especially for the below five crowd. You have them lay their dollars out and then you have them place a heavy quarter. And actually, I got into different coins. Like I'd bring, like, so we looked at silver coins versus regular coins and funny money, which is
money not included in the game.
Money's not included in the game. That is correct.
Yes. Okay. So the quarters.
And so this is called the quarterly report. And they go boom, boom, boom. And you say, how many quarters did you make? Or how much interest did you make? And they say four quarters makes a dollar. And they count up their dollars. And they say, they give you four quarters makes a dollar. They give it to you. You make the transaction. So they're getting used to this idea that these are the same, like heavy things and paper things. They start to get a feel for that.
So again, just because you've said this to me multiple times, you've said it many times, but I remember the first time I had to ask multiple questions. Four $1 bills. At the end of the week, this is a ritual. We're sitting down. We're going to open the box. We're going to talk about the quarterly report.
And the kids run to the room to get it.
Exactly.
Because it's a ritual. It's part
of... $4 are still there. Bravo. I'm the... What'd you call me?
You're the angel investor.
I'm the angel investor. I'm the bank, right? I'm the bank, the angel investor. So now because of that, I'm giving them interest, a quarter, four quarters.
Yep.
Now, they turn that quarter, they pick up, or you have them do that.
Yeah, they do it.
They turn the quarter in.
Yep.
They get another dollar.
Yep.
Now, that's $5.
And I make them hold the money separate, and I say, what is your principal? $4. Your interest? $1.
Do you think it would be better? So I would probably say to my kids, we start this when you have four $1 bills.
Yeah.
Because they got piggy banks. They got things running around. I mean, whatever. Yeah. So they got some skin in the game. Because right now I'm out $105. I mean, it's good life lessons, but I want to have some skin in the game. So whether they start with the four $1 bills or you start with the four $1 bills as the seed investor.
Either is good. Either is good.
Either is good.
Now, let me, I mean, so you're going to give your kid allowance.
Yes.
Every week, right? Whether you do allowance connected to chores or connected to grades or connected to whatever, it doesn't matter.
What you could do in this instance, you could say, look, it's part of the process, right? Or something along those lines.
Okay. So pretty quickly, you're going to get, the kid's going to have $100, $200 in principal, which is just sitting there.
So again, let's take a step back. So this is done every week now.
Every week. Yep.
Every week, a quarter. So this is an investment. I mean, you're making an investment. But again, I think it's the investment in what are we trying to achieve. I mean, you're not having somebody write Xbox and they have $300. I mean, I know you said in a few weeks or whatever, but when somebody says, hey, I want to buy a Lego set, what was a Lego set?
When we were doing it, it was $14. I think they're probably $24.
$20, yeah. $30. Yeah. Okay, so we're doing this and we're achieving this, delayed gratification, interest, compounding, et cetera. Okay, so I get that. Every week we're doing that.
Yeah.
What else? You were going to show us something and all the other things that you were trying when I interrupted you.
So one of the things that you do is by putting the mark here, you're letting them see the scale of things. And so they're learning to chart. As an engineer, I love charts. So I probably should have brought it. They used to buy Captain America dolls. Mm. And so we'd have them scale it appropriately and they would draw it. We had graph paper out. But they get an idea of time and scale and growth. And pretty soon, the magical moment happens when they... when they have $8 and they get $2 in interest and they're like, wait a minute, I get $2? And you're like, yeah. And so compounding interest, it doesn't make sense the first couple of weeks.
Right.
Because you're just like, okay,
you're in.
Right. I got 10%. Who cares? But then all of a sudden you get twice what you used to get.
Right.
And they start to get hooked.
Now, let me ask you this. This is interesting, right? So now they get there to the $12 or the $14.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting dilemma, isn't there?
There is. Actually, what I generally do is all my kids, I've said, I'm like, congratulations, you made $20. Let's say it's $20. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you want to go get it? We'll go right now. We'll get it. And they're like, yes, let's go get that bad boy. And I'll say, wait a minute, just one question, old Columbo, just one more question. And they're like, huh? And I said, if you spend your whole $20 of principal, how much will you have in interest next week? And they go, none. I'm like,
light bulb goes off.
Because it's taken them about 5 weeks to get here.
Right.
And they're like, I don't want to wait 5 weeks. And then I would not get any dollars.
Mm.
I don't want to wait a million weeks. Because, you know, to a child, 5 weeks is a million weeks.
Right.
I don't want to wait. And you say, okay, well, what if we just waited 1 week? And then that's where this chart comes in. This is the compound interest chart.
Mm.
So it's really the same chart that you saw previously, except it's just...
massive.
Massive, right?
I love it.
And so this takes you out to, I think it's... 17 weeks. You can get another one of these and then you can take it out longer. Generally, they don't need them after about 20 weeks. That's, you know, that's 6 months. But they get to actually plot out, okay, this is my, you know, whatever is my target. Mm-hmm. This is my principal. This is how much I'm getting in interest every week. And they can figure it out. I mean, they're essentially doing algebra, but they're doing it manually.
I love it.
And they're working through it. So like my daughter just did this a couple weeks ago, actually probably a month ago. And she said, oh, well, if I wait 2 weeks, well, then I would get, wait a minute. And then she has this, the third epiphany, which is, wait a minute. If I wait a certain amount of time, let's say five weeks more, I'll get $15 in interest, which means, and sometimes I have to prompt them, like, so what does that mean? How many, if you bought a doll with that $15, how long would you have to wait till your next doll? And they're like, oh, I could get it the next week. I said, you could get infinite dolls. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, but at some point as a parent, you're like, spend the money. You're like, you need to spend this money. This is nonsense. All right, what else comes in the box? What other things that, because I know you have other things there that come in the box.
Yeah. Well, before that, let me just tell you
real
quick. So you hit $100. Now you're giving them $25 a week, right? $25 a week is
I am not giving my kid $25.
Right, and that's what everybody, like, I can't. Well, there's a built-in system to manage this. You kick them down to the dime report, 10%. You kick them down to the nickel report. So their principal is growing. But their interest rate is dropping. And so there's this psychological...
Oh, the Fed play. Interest rates have gone down. Sorry, let's talk macroeconomics. Anyways, I know that's...
No,
I'm
right.
sure it's not in there, but that'd be a
no,
good...
No, so there's a psychological effect.
How about taxes? No, I'm just kidding. Well, there's an infinite possibility.
No,
here.
There really is. And this is where people are like, well, it's just compound interest. It's just kind of it.
No,
financial statement. There is no other financial statement.
You're talking to a finance guy. So that there is only one.
So, yeah, no. So one day, one of my boys, he's probably about six. He wanted this Lego set. His sister had a huge amount of principal. She loans him this.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, this is totally fine, but you're going to owe your sister a negative quarterly report. He's like, yeah, whatever. He grabs it. That's the son that's like me. he grabs it, and he had to pay her a negative quarterly report for like 6 weeks as he paid off his negative
interest. He's in debt. He's in hock to his sister.
And he is violently opposed to debt now. Right? So if you want to talk about your kids, Dave Ramsey, and you want your kids to hate debt, want to be, you know, debt free.
Put them in debt. Put them in debtor's prison there.
With a real debt to one of their siblings. That's the worst, actually. Yeah. Right.
So again, what other things? So you've got the quarterly report, you have the bigger compound interest chart, and then you've got a couple other things. There's the instruction manual.
There's an instruction manual so that you know, you don't have to rewatch this. You don't have to watch it with your kids. It's got cute little characters. This is the Cassius family. This is King Cassius because Cash is king. And then his son, Epel, Prince Epel. So Principal and his sister, Allocation, and then their brother, Roy. So there's fun characters for the younger crowd.
I love this.
All right, so one more quick story about the rates, because we've already talked about the quarterly report and the dime report, right?
Yes.
So question, does it work? So my daughter, she's 9 years old. We've just moved back from Texas. We've kind of fallen off doing the thing because moving is a nightmare. And she's 9 years old. She catches me in the kitchen at night and she goes, Dad, I wish I understood money better when I was young. Right?
She's nine.
She's nine.
Nice.
She's nine. And I was like, oh, do tell. And she said, do you remember when I was on the dime report and the brothers were on the quarterly report? And I was like, this is like 6 months ago. I'm like, yes, I do remember. She goes, I didn't realize that you could just go to the bank and borrow like $200. And they just want like a quarterly report like once a year. And I was like, yeah. She's like, I could have just given that money to my brothers and then we could have split the interest. I was like, that's called arbitrage. And if you had proposed it, I would have driven you there that minute.
That's so funny.
So that just kind of the reason I bring that up is, this is not like the piggy bank where you rattle it and then you break it one day because whatever. And this is not like the envelope system. Like literally, deeply, 9 year olds are understanding this, right? And it applies to all sorts of areas of life.
Yeah, what I like about it, I don't think you even. I think everybody gets that it's an exercise.
Right.
That it's a process. And this is one of why I got so. There's a million things out there, whether it's a game, you know, again, cash flow or, you know, an online game or savings. This is a real life process that you can take your kids through for them to understand some critical financial principles. And I don't. I just think that even if they don't do well, they take the money, they're gonna realize very quickly, if I keep spending this. Now, I've had to teach some of my kids this the hard way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love all my children. My 17-year-old spends money quickly. And finally, just this year, he is starting to save. He's starting to say no to people. And what happened was finally he said, man, I don't have money. I want to go out and do this. I go, bud, you eat it. You constantly eat it.
Yep.
I said, you got to save the money and then you will have money next time and you will don't need to spend it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I wish we would have done this at 8 or 9 years old.
Well, and that's kind of the reason that's a major reason. Cause I was the kid that ate the money. Right. Because I love life. Let's run until we pass out. In college, I used to get strep throat all the time because I just wouldn't sleep. Like there's always something fun to do. I just like to consume life, right? And then my parents gave me the envelopes and they're like, oh, and this one over here, the save envelope, this one is the money that you burn because you never get to touch it. I was like, well, why'd you even give it to me? I don't understand. But if you think about, oh, the money that I'm saving is money that I can use for investing.
Right.
Right. Then it gets super exciting. In fact, I don't want the Chipotle because I could put that money and it could grow. And then, like, it's just a game to make it grow.
Yeah.
So people, like, actually, I get this a lot. They're like, is it a game or is it a, what is it? Like, well, money is a game. It's a tool to teach you that. But so I kind of made this for young me. And so if you all have a spender in your family and you keep saying, you got to save it, he can't hear you because there's too much fun stuff. But if you're like, hey, if you save it, you can invest it. You can.
Yes.
That's how I started saving.
I feel like this is so good for, again, that 5 to 9-ish range. I just feel like that's a critical. I mean, this is just me speaking.
No, the 12-year-olds are about the cap on it.
Yeah.
The next box is actually a probability box in which you can like learn to do trading.
So
this one dies at about 12.
Again, theblackinvestingbox.com, theblackinvestingbox.com, $100, get you the box. You got a couple kids, buy 2 or 3. Again, a wise investment. I just think it's a wonderful investment. What other things do you want to share before we wrap up?
Yeah, so this is probably my favorite one. This is the definite major purpose, if you guys have read Think and Grow Rich. So you got a 5-year-old and they want to do like we do Legos. Remember we talked Legos? So I'd say your definite major purpose is to build this Lego set that's ranked for a 14 or whatever year old. So that's a definite major purpose is something that takes longer than a day to accomplish. And that scales if you're 5 or if you're 50. And so like my job at Lockheed was doing 5-year projects, right? And I got 20, 25 people working on this stuff. Everybody's got milestones. All right. Definite major purpose. Every day, every week, the kid at the quarterly report states, and it's really important to state it, states out loud his definite major purpose, makes a plan, and then has to accomplish the plan in his time sequence. Mm. And then I would take this and I would rip it off at the end of the week. And I would say, did you accomplish it? And then the answer always had to be yes. We worked on it all week. And then I would say, what did you learn? And I'd write. And so these are actually what is in my kid's pinky bank is the lessons that they learned doing their So one of the definite major purposes, my daughter wanted she wanted to do a cupcake party with her friend, Anna. I want to have a cupcake. And then mom said no. So she's depressed about Wednesday. And I was like, why are you so sad? She goes, well, mom said no. I said, well, is it because mom says no major purpose or a definite major purpose? She goes, well, I mean, for a 6-year-old, when mom says no, mom says no. And I said, well, go find out why mom said no. So she and mom have a dialogue. Turns out mom doesn't want to mess in her kitchen. Get it. So they compromise. They have Anna out for a Kroger cupcake party at the park. Lesson is, even if mom says no, I can still make it happen.
That's a good lesson, but you got to be careful with
that. Well, you got to talk to mom.
You got to be careful with that one for sure.
So that one's super powerful.
And that comes in the box too?
That comes in the box.
I love that. That's fantastic.
So after they get like to 20-ish bucks of principal, they start saying, how can I do more, right? So you say, well, life's full of opportunities. So this is an opportunity contract. So training a kid to see opportunities, training them to see a dirty room. Oh, I can clean that. Oh, that's a lawn. I could mow that. Oh, this is this. Oh, I could do that. I used to write contracts when I was at Lockheed. So it has scope. It has special terms. You don't have to agree to it. This is not like the kid comes to you and you're like stuck. Like, no, you negotiate with the kid. And then you put a time span. If he doesn't accomplish his laundry on a certain time schedule, he doesn't get his 50 cents. So this is, it teaches them to negotiate. Now, kids are natural
negotiators. So that you could combine both of those as part of how you earn your interest if you wanted to.
Right, because you're kicking it down to the dime report and the nickel report and the penny. So they don't have any interest, but they still need to grow their principal, which is kind of like us. This is how we invest, right?
I love it. Two incredible life lessons right there.
Yeah, so this one you'll like. This is business thinking. So this is, you draw a picture of McDonald's. How many people are at McDonald's? Mm. How many return customers? Why do people go to McDonald's? This is actually just psychographics.
Does this come in the box too?
This comes in the box too.
Oh my goodness.
So this one's worth a quarter if they fill this out. So this is, all right, wealth. It's not just money, right? It's wealth. How do I build relationships? How do I build planning? How do I build business acumen? It's the whole bit. Those are great. And then this one's just lessons learned. I think you guys understand lessons learned.
Right.
Relationships. So this is Gary Chapman's 5 love languages in a kid's phrase.
Nice.
And this is, are they like inner circle towards outer circle? How much did they enjoy it? How much hard was it for me to do it? So we're getting them to interact with, oh, I could give somebody a fist bump. Easy. They don't care. Oh, that person does care. They're starting to, you're developing EQ. Mm. So, that's the box.
All included in the Black Investing box.
Yeah.
I love it. So again, to summarize this is an incredible tool, a wonderful educational piece to engage with your children, your grandkids. We have kids, but we used to get these tchotchkes for Christmas. And listen, grandparents, it's fine. I know it's wonderful. But then a year later, like, they don't work, they're broken, you know, et cetera. We're giving them to Goodwill. What a great investment for kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, et cetera. Anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, I will say that in film, there's a thing called a MacGuffin. So, like, the Maltese Falcon, if you haven't watched it, that's on you. The Maltese Falcon, they never find the Maltese Falcon, right? So that's the MacGuffin is this thing that drives the entire plot, but actually doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? This becomes the MacGuffin where you, as the grandparent or as the parent, it's this focal point that the child is charged at, and the child runs and gets it and sits you down, and you have 30 minutes to dialogue mm-hmm. about lessons learned, about the week, about your plans for next week, about your relationships. That's a pretty wealthy life.
That's impressive. Okay, Drew Sutton, our guest today, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this. I love it. Absolutely love it. You can find yours at theblackinvestingbox.com. We'll have a link below. Again, theblackinvestingbox.com. Make it a great day.